But people can be so fearful of death. As a Christian, we shall never die.
Right.
Most things that we don't do in life, we refrain from doing it because it might hurt us. I mean, I don't fly in an airplane. Why don't I? Am I fearful of the plane falling out of the sky and crashing? That's probably part of it. I don't know. But in reality, what do I have to fear? If I fly, you know? I guess the main reason I don't fly, I've never had a good enough reason to fly. I'll use that for excuse. I always say someday I want to jump in a jet, fly to California, eat a cheeseburger, and fly back. Someday, maybe, I don't know. But I've had the opportunity to fly, but I don't know. I don't have any wings. But in reality, what should I fear? Should I fear that the plane's going to crash? I think maybe one reason why I don't fly, I have no control. I don't know how to fly a plane. I have no problem riding in a car. I'd rather drive. But I know how they operate. But in a plane, I mean, I'm putting my entire life in the hands of somebody I've never met before to fly me from point A to point B. But if I just take a moment and think about this, who did I truly put my life in whose hands? Jesus. Now, do I believe that my days will go as long as He has purposed them? As I follow Him? Yes. Amen. So, if I was getting ready to get on that plane, Tracy, I heard this voice say, Starkey, don't! Now I wouldn't get on the plane, would I? That'd be you. Yeah, don't do it. Yes. But otherwise, I shouldn't have any fear at all for anything. But death holds us back. Death can stop us from doing things. It's because we're scared, you know. But Jesus overcame sin, death, and the grave. We will never die. My body will be parked, but my soul, my spirit will live with Jesus forever. And that's a pretty good deal, you know. The only part about it is, when I say it's kind of scary, I want to say more like it's really unknown what it's going to be like, you know. It'd be like driving an old jalopy all your life and get a brand new car. You're kind of scared to drive it, and then when you park it, I remember I used to carry out groceries for Bueller's, and somebody would get a brand new car, they would park it in the middle of the parking lot all by itself and walk in. I had to carry the groceries out back in those days, you know. But they're really, really protective of it. So I think what it is, just the unknown. But, you know, God just went to have faith in Him. You know, He won't lead him astray, you know. So if we don't have any fear, then there's nothing that we can't do. So that's why, someone said it earlier, I didn't think Steve said it, that's why you're battling your flesh all the time. Because your flesh wants to bring fear to you. It's used to that, you know. It's your flesh that you're afraid of what other people will say about you. I mean, have you ever had people talk about you? I know. Does it feel good when they do? I mean, if they're talking nice about you, it's okay, but it gets you down. You ever get to the point that you walk into a room and somebody can laugh or go, and you think they're talking about you and laughing about you? Yeah, that's the flesh is raising up, you know? But as a Christian, it should be, hey, I'm glad they're talking about me, man. I got Jesus living in me. That's renewing our mind, like turning, you know, changing it back to, hey, I'm a child of God. But that's the process of renewing our mind. But not to have fear. And these days that we're living in, it's an everyday reminder not to have fear, right? You see, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. No, only one person knows, and his name is Yahweh. His name is God, you know. And so if God knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and we are His children, do we think He'll do what's right for us? Amen. Is God all powerful, Tracy? Isn't He? And He wants the best for us. Because He already gave us the best, right? Jesus. And you said earlier He'll be coming back when everybody's heard the gospel. So that in His plan, there has to be a purpose why the events are taking place in the country. Yeah. And we can think, well, come on, God. Do it this way. Now, I've already confessed my sins of having a lightning bolt hit the Capitol building several times, okay? Not hurting nobody. But see, God sees you as His children already seated in heaven. Understand that. You know, Penny, you're saying, you know, we might catch up with our spirits as one of these days, you know. But see, God already sees you redeemed from your sins. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have everything you need, forever. And I know that God could send out, like, what's the guy's name, the bald-headed guy, got ate up by a bear? Elijah? I mean, there were two kids come out one time, made fun of Elijah, had a bald head. Hey, baldy, baldy, baldy. And bears came out and ate them people up. I mean, when God says, don't touch my anointed, now there's a deeper spiritual meaning in that, okay? So if you're a bald head tonight, you're okay, man. Don't put a hat on, okay? So we know, you got hair there, Brother Bob. Come on now. But we know the power God has. Remember Elijah and was it Baal? I'm saying the right one, Elijah. Elijah, the first one, yeah. Remember the 400 prophets of Baal that was falsely prophesizing? And they built the altar. Elijah called upon the Lord and He set down fire. So we know with God everything is possible. So we sit here today and well, God, why is this taking place in our country? Why don't you just send a lightning bolt, wipe out this person, that person, and get rid of them and shut their mouths up? Because His purpose is being fulfilled. See, we've already been redeemed. If I can call them the left, and when I say left, I'm not saying Democrat, Republican, because they're both sides. Their soul's headed for hell. And God's desire not one person would perish. Oops, sorry. Anybody who rejects Jesus will never be able to blame God that they didn't know. So, He's hanging in. We're hanging in there not because of us doing something wrong, because we've all repented, right? And turned back to God, 100%. There's other ones out there. There has to be, I know, thousands, at least maybe millions of mamas and daddies or grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles or people or brothers and sisters in the Lord praying, God, open their eyes up, open their eyes up. Let them see, let them see. I'd love to be in heaven tonight. If I can stay here one more day for one more soul to turn to Him, in the scheme of things, it'll be worth it. That's why things are continuing. Again, I say thank God that I'm not God. Could have been over with. So my prayer at times, even got this far. So my prayer, it's not a selfish prayer, but God, give me the strength and give me the heart to continue serving You by praying for those from the lost. Amen. Amen. I believe what we have done here this past year, I believe we put God, I won't say we didn't take Him off His timeline, but we allow God's timeline to continue. And I say it this way. I'm going to call this thing that we're doing called life a game. Okay? Anybody familiar with football? Any ladies familiar with football? I don't know tennis, so anyway, I'll try it this way. He creates everything, the game starts, okay? Gives it to us, we blow it, give it to the devil, Christ buys it back. God has a specific time that this earth will run. And I believe here in America, as we had turned our backs to God and we embraced sin, to me it was like, okay, God got his plan all figured out. But when we turned to sin as a nation, it was like a timeout. And a timeout is when all play stops. Okay? During the timeout, nobody moves. And so, I see it as the events that God had figured out and this and salvation and redemption for people. When his church, and I'm talking about America right now, when we wrapped ourselves up in the pleasure of the world and we really turned our backs on God, it was like, okay, time out. You'll be here a little bit longer. But I truly believe as we have repented, I mean, the church has just, I believe that the true church has really just gave it all back to God. And that allowed God to blow that whistle. The timeout was over. Made about his business, and that is saving other people. See, we couldn't bring other people to Jesus as a church because we had our back on our first love. And we were at a point probably at one time, if the left came in here, we'd throw them out. Get out of here. You baby murderers. Yeah, I don't mean our church. I'm talking about the, yeah, not you guys. No. But the church, yes. Instead of rejoicing that they're coming to hear, the church would get out. But the true church, I believe the eyes are open and they really understand the scheme of the devil and how he's been trying to destroy and get us fighting among ourselves. Devil don't love the left, and he don't love us. He hates us both just as well. He wants to destroy us. And God doesn't want that, does he? No. Again, his heart is that no one would perish. We are his hands, his feet, his voice. So even though we object to a lot of things, and we do have the right to voice our opinion, we do have the right to stand up for righteousness and speak the truth and defend liberty and life, we cannot forget the great purpose of God, redemption for all. So with that, we have to keep ourselves spiritually strong and our eyes focused on God's prize, and that is another soul. And we can go another day. And we call upon Him for strength. We gather here for strength. Encourage one another. How far will we go? I don't know. You know? I read the other night, we look at our President Trump. I mean, he's banned from any social media. New York has canceled every contract they had with him. PGA Golf Course has shut down anything they're going to use with him. His bank is shut down that he deals with. But my Bible says that if you lose, I'm trying to quote correctly, if you're separated from your brother, if you leave your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your farms, your fortunes, for his name's sake, he will punish it in this life, in the life to come. Now, I'm not saying that we leave and say, well, get mad and leave, my brother. No, but you go out and you put Christ first, that he'll restore. And that's for us. But also for our president, I believe that he is an instrument in God's hand. Has been, is been, is, not is been, will continue to be. Okay? So that's his word. I stand on that word. Amen. For this life and the life to come. He tells me that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Okay? I mean, who wants money? I don't want the money, but I want what we can do with the money. Helping people. But we just got to trust Him. Don't ever give up the boat. Okay? Don't say, oh man, God don't know what He's doing. I'd like to share with you a couple of psalms, and this is a psalm that you sent me earlier. That in the Christian circle today, they're praying this and standing on this. Billy Brim, anybody know Billy Brim of her, Christian woman? Yeah, okay. But Psalms 94, if you want to turn there, we'll read this as and stand on in agreement. Yeah, Carol sent it to me earlier, Dad. I thought, man, that just speaks about us right now, doesn't it? Remember that, Carol? Okay. Okay. But Psalms 94, starting in verse 17. Well, let me turn the lights back up, guys. It'd be easy for you to see your Bibles. Okay. One on the other side, babe. I don't have it with me, hon. You got it with you? I don't have Passion on there. Okay, well, I won't be able to find it. I got all my notes laid out, so. Go ahead. Do you want to read it? Psalms 94, verse 17. Well, let me read this way, then you can step into Passion. And verse 17 says, if the Lord had not been my help, my soul would have dwelt in the abode of silence. If I should say my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. Can a throne of destruction be allied with you, one which devises mischief by decree? This band, they band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. Now, does that sound like today, guys? Verse 22. But the Lord has been my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought back their wickedness upon them and will destroy them and their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. Now, that's what God's saying. Hey, listen, it's going on. The wickedness is going crazy. I ask you, have I not been your fortress? Have I brought you this far? Have I ever deceived you? Have I ever turned my back on you? Now, even though he said that they come against us, in verse 21, they band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has been my stronghold, my God, the rock of my refuge. In verse 23, has brought back their wickedness upon them and will destroy them and their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. So we know that God will wipe out the wicked. Guaranteed. Why don't he do it today? Well, we know why. One more soul. One more soul. Have you yourself ever get wrapped up in things you shouldn't have done because somebody talked you into it? Amen. Ask Kenny Weekly when we went streaking, yes. Oh, you didn't. But see, there's many out there to see. What's that? Real ugly, I know. I know. But, you know, I could have been arrested with Kenny and try to blame Kenny for it, you know. I got talked into, but would I still be guilty of it? Amen. But if we were streaking and Timmy, I go, hey, the cops are coming. We got back in there before the cops caught us. See what I'm saying? Well, my heart is okay. We have a lot of people being deceived right now. They're hanging in groups they shouldn't be. Listen to a bunch of lies going on, okay? And God wants to get them out of there before the cops come. What I mean by that, before he comes. And that's where we come in at, our prayers. I mean, he could wipe them out tomorrow. How many of them? I mean, every one of us here, he could have wiped us out in the middle of our sins. But he chose not to. There might have been some people saying, well, God, just wipe out Starkey. Get rid of him. You know? But God said, no, 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 no. He had a better plan. And so I know there's some that I look at today, and I thought, man, I think they have been turned over to the reprobate mind. I don't think there's any hope for them. They're not coming back. But I still pray for them. I still pray for them that, man, just if we could harness that energy they have, the deception that they've been covered up with, the lies that they hear. So the word has to be spoken, and it's spoken. But they have to receive it. They have to have an understanding. And we've been praying for several months, oh God, let the truth be exposed. Let the truth be exposed. Amen. And look at the truth coming out. But now my cry is, God, let them see the truth and receive it. Let them receive it. Tim, you're 100% right. Because he said that we should be praying that way all along. You know, I'm praying that, yeah, let the truth be exposed. Well, if you see the truth, then you're going to believe it. No. You're not going to believe it until you have eyes to see it. And so, again, truth be exposed. We'll see it being exposed now and let people have the eyes to see it and recognize what it is and be delivered from it. And again, the deceptions that they've been brought under, I mean, to be set free from it. And I'm not talking about our Bill of Rights or Constitution, you know, which are very important. I'm talking about the life, how important life is. And what God says about marriage and what God says about lying and stealing. And, I mean, that. Yeah, as that is received, everything else will take care of itself. Amen? Amen. Amen. In Romans 12:9. I'm going to read you here in Romans yet tonight, and we'll be done. But, maybe not. It goes back to us. Just we need to have passion. I believe we need to be able to stand up for what is wrong. We need to be able to be vocal about it in a loving way. And I do know at times it might be coming to a physical way. I don't look for trouble. But if it comes, it comes. But may it not be because of me. Amen? But in Romans 12:9. Before I go there, one moment. Did you want to share the passion? Did it read it different or give a greater understanding? Okay, would you? You should yell at me. I get rolling like this. Carol's going to share with us, or somebody here, the Passion Translation. Right, yeah. And we're still in Psalms. She's going to read from Psalms in the Passion Translation.
I would have been killed so many times if you had not been there for me. When I screamed out, "Lord, I'm doomed," your fiery love was stirred and you raced to my rescue. Whenever my busy thoughts were out of control, the soothing comfort of your presence calmed me down and overwhelmed me with delight. It's obvious to all that you will have nothing to do with corrupt rulers who pass laws that empower evil and defeat what is right. For they gang up against the lovers of righteousness, and they condemn the innocent to death. But I know that all their evil plans will boomerang back onto them. Mm-hmm. Every plot they hatch will simply seal their own doom. For you, my God, you will destroy them, giving them what they deserve. For you are my true tower of strength, my safe place, my hideout, my true shelter.
Amen. Amen. I like the way that reads also. You know, it just... So we know that evil and those who wickedness will have a day coming. We know that. But may our heart be passionate till that day comes. That we rescue as many as we can with the truth. Amen. Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Turn from what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer, and contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitalities. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Again, I want to repeat 17 again. Never pay back evil for evil. And at times, that scripture can be misunderstood in the church, saying that you cannot defend yourself. It's talking about evil. Evil is without merit. Okay? Evil is doing on to somebody they just did to you. And God said, don't do that. Don't pay back evil with evil. No. Now, he's not asking us to do that. He's telling us to do that. Again, he's not saying we cannot defend ourselves. But to track them down and... Right, getting evil would be the same thing, yes. Yeah, don't. And let me finish him. I'll pile some more. Verse 18. If possible, far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. For if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And folks, the only way that we can do that is with Jesus. Amen? That's the only way you can do it. His ultimate plan, he knows it better than anybody. Our part is in here, right there. Pray for those who persecute you. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. I mean, how weird would that be? Me, I'd want to starve you out, Tim. Amen. But yeah, and to feed you, physically, but also spiritually. That's the greatest food that we can, you know. In my harvest of soul, amen. But God's perfect will be completed as we do ours. The will He has for us. And don't overcome evil with evil. And that's what Satan wants to do, is cause us to raise up against the wicked and do the same to them what they're doing to us. And no. Again, not saying you can't defend yourself. If you're trying to tear down your business, you have the right to protect it. But, alright, Tim, I'll tell you what, they destroyed our business. We're going over there, we're going to destroy their business. Come on! And we go across town with ball bats and hand grenades and stuff and destroy it. And God says, don't do that. That's vengeance there, okay? I mean, yes, because God, I mean, who's more powerful than God? Nobody is. And His perfect will be done. Now, it could be a fireball, okay? But our job, our heart has to be to pray for them. Oh, God, how can that much hatred be inside of a person, Lord? How can they destroy? God, open their eyes up and protect them. I mean, it's really hard to... It makes it harder for somebody to hate you when you're nice to them. Understand? And what we used to do in law enforcement, I worked midnights a lot, and of course you arrest a lot of people. But on our visor, a lot of time, when you turn it down, you'd have a picture of our wives or our kids on there. Just remind people in the back seat that we're humans. And sometimes that's done with a conversation. You know, just trying to be, or ask them about their kid, whatever it might be, you know. It wasn't any, there's already wrapped up in the criminal justice system, and there's just heaping stuff on it. You know, let's try to rescue them out of it, you know, for change their life around. And it's the same way what we're dealing with today, that there's many, I believe there's many millions of them. They're just the association of wrong people. And we just got to pray that their eyes are open to see the truth and to speak the truth. Doesn't do any good to argue. Have you ever tried to argue with people? You just, but normally one-on-one. And but he said, vengeance is mine. So we know in the scheme of things, God will have the last say. But we allow the Lord to use us to rescue another person out of that by praying, by fasting, by And that might be, you might have a relative, you have totally opposite political views, and you just can't stand what they're saying, okay? Love them, and find common ground where you can at least associate with them, and then let God lead you from there. You know, I think we've all got maybe that in our families, maybe that. But yeah, don't isolate them. Just find a way, common ground, and let God work through you. Okay, because we've all been deceived at something in our life before, you know. And here I stand before you today. I bet you if I could look at, be in heaven, look at my life of God right now, I see a lot of deceptions that, man, really? Wow, I can't believe that, you know. Bart Starr wasn't the best quarterback ever. You know, wow, I've been deceived now. So just have a heart for people, that we continue to pray for them, intercede for them, stand up for righteousness, and let God, well, let Him have the last card, I guess, to play. Okay? Amen. Amen. Anybody got questions tonight? Anybody finding it struggling to some of the stuff you're seeing and keeping the love of Christ in your heart to pray for the people? I know you can, but just remember that at one time those folks were somebody's little baby boy or girl, and they got deceived along the way, and pray for the truth to be brought out. I pray for those who are guilty to be brought to justice. I want justice, because justice can at least bring repentance. Amen. And then for God's mercy to be applied. But amen. Amen. Because this thing is a lot greater than the United States of America. This is a world global thing, you know. But I trust God's word. I believe that we are a beacon. The United States of America has been, is. I believe His word says those who bless Israel, I'll bless them. Those who curse them, I'll curse them. And we have blessed. Our president stood up for Israel. We have done everything that God asks us to do, I believe. So we know that we have no restrictions on what God wants to do, and He will do it. This, however it is, He sees the bigger scheme of things. Amen? Amen.